Blog Talk Radio.
January 25th, the first month of 2019 is almost over, but we're off to a great start. Tonight we're going to have a really cool show. As most of y'all know, I love sci-fi. So when I got word that I was going to have this particular guest on the show, I was definitely excited. Get to talk about his publication and all the ins and outs. Books to Read interviews the author of The Shroud of Peace. The year is 2585. The galaxy is only just beginning to recover from the most destructive war in history between the now-defunct Sanhelai Empire and the human-united Interstellar Alliance. In the power vacuum left by the fallen empire, a private security corporation known as Blackout has risen to fill the void and challenge the UIA. So our first Books to Read show of 2019. Can't wait to talk to the author, Nathaniel, and see if I get this right, Zimkowitz, about this universe he has created. Make sure you tune in, listen in, and call in. Of course, follow the show on Instagram on IMTN Worldwide Radio, Twitter, IMTN Radio, and make sure you download the Spreaker app to your phone and follow the IMTN Worldwide Radio page by registering for free. Thanks for your support. With that, let's go ahead and welcome Nathaniel into the show. Good evening. How are you doing tonight,
hey,
Nathaniel?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, sir.
Oh, no worries. No worries. I'm excited. As I mentioned, sci-fi is one of the genres I've paid attention to for a long time, whether it be movies, TV, books, things of that nature. So definitely interested in finding out more about what you have in this particular book. But first and foremost, as I do with most guests, since this is the first time we've actually been able to talk, let's find out a little bit about you. So first of all, did I get your last name right?
No, sir, you didn't. But no slack on you. It took me years to finally learn how to say that correctly. It's pronounced Szymkowicz. It's very, very Polish.
Wow. Okay. So I had the origin, and I had to guess on the pronunciation. So, all right, appreciate that. So are you originally from Poland or Polish parents? Give us a little bit of background of you.
Okay, so I grew up all over the Northeast. I'm originally from a small town in Long Island called Bayville, where basically most of what I did in my free time was just go to school and then come home and write pretty much stuff like this. Mm-hmm. I eventually moved out of there. I went to State University of New York in Brockport, studied history, and had a minor in English, and then I was also doing U.S. Army ROTC on the side, commissioned into the Vermont Army National Guard, moved out to a beautiful town called South Hero, which is just on a tiny little island in the middle of Lake Champlain on the border of New York, Vermont, and Canada. Lived there for about 2 years and then transferred to the regular Army and moved down to El Paso, Texas, where I'm currently stationed at Fort Bliss.
Okay. All right. And then, I'm actually from Queens, New York myself.
Yeah, small world.
Texas, so you're there currently. Now, you mentioned your station, so you're still in the service, of course, so you probably have a pretty busy schedule. How do you find time to write?
Honestly, it can be a bit of a forcing function when it comes to writing, but honestly, what I try to do is set aside about 2 to 4 hours a week for myself to do that. It's just kind of one of the things that you have to keep in mind whenever you have a situation where you're just absolutely downtrodden, just busy all the time and never feels like anything's going right. You just always have to make time to do the things that you love.
Exactly. Prioritization. That's a good point. I'm glad you mentioned that. Because I was going to ask, is this your first book that you've written?
So it's a bit of a complicated story. If I had to say, in terms of things I'd actually consider a coherent story, yes, this is pretty much the first book I've written. But what we're talking about tonight, this is actually a republish of my first book. I published this the first time I did it all myself. This is back when I was like 19 and I didn't know what I was doing at all, and I completely messed up the formatting and everything like that. So I learned from my mistakes and ultimately decided to try a different business model and go in that way, tighten up the writing as much as I could and get it formatted properly to where it exists in its current format today.
Okay. Wow, nice. Trial and error sometimes, but you have to be that person that, well, if you get the error, are you willing to feel the mistake? Because, again, if you do feel good about something that you've done, you want people to see it, and in this case, read it, of course, right? So,
exactly.
That being said, that's pretty cool so far in regards to your story. So let's get into the book. So The Shroud of Peace. Now, of course, I mentioned a little excerpt from the bio that I was sent. Usually when I do any show on books to read, of course, it's always kind of difficult to say, okay, we don't want to give everybody the whole story because we want people to get the book. But I also like to try to give context, though, because we want people to want to read the book as well. So give us a little bit of an outline of in regards to what I've already read for the audience tonight, and give us a little bit of an indication of the story. I actually mentioned the universe that you created. So this is something that obviously you've had in mind for a while. So kind of give us a little background in regards to just the scope of where we are with The Shroud of Peace.
So like you mentioned before in the blurb that you read, that's pretty much the entire backdrop for the story. It's obviously post-war setting. This whole huge, massive, exciting war happened in another science fiction novel that I never planned to write. But the story centers on this ongoing manhunt between one of the Alliance's most venerated special forces operators and this man of mystery. He wakes up in a hospital in basically the middle of nowhere, and he was mortally wounded, but miraculously healed itself. And now he's on a mission to figure out who shot him, what is going on with him, and kind of how Blackout fits into this whole picture is the sort of deal that's going on. You also have a lot of themes that come from fighting such an incredibly prolonged war. The Special Forces officer, he actually has an entire team, and one of the members of his team is a member of this alien race that humanity had been butting heads with forever, and it's just a really compelling side story to see them kind of resolve that little bit of a tension.
All right. So far, so good. So let me ask you this. The year is 2585, so usually with different, authors and things of that nature, when they come up with anything that's sci-fi related, there's a lot of details are involved in that. So how far did you go in regards to, again, as I like to say, the universe that you created in regards to technology, space travel, all that kind of good stuff?
Well, I will admit this isn't Star Trek. I didn't go so far into the nitty-gritties of the technology because really the story and characters was what I was a little more focused on. But the technology, there's a wide diversity of technology and kind of the tiers that you have at play here to where humanity, technically, they're on the lower end of the technology scale, but they have a numerical advantage over most people, over most species in the galaxy. So that's kind of why they're holding on to power. And then you have a few other alien races. You have the Sed Haley that were basically this huge authoritarian empire that did this. And one of the more interesting things that I had that I wanted to play around with was there's another race called the Acreon that evolved on one of the moons that orbits the Sed Haley homeworld, and to where they were kind of the first example of, hey, this is how their policy is going to work from here on out. And essentially they are second-class citizens in their civilization, to a point where when the war's over, they basically declare independence and make their own nation somewhere else. It's kind of interesting the way the relations work out with that. You have the Paltorians as well, incredibly long-lived, incredibly long-winded about getting to anything, and have the most advanced technology of anyone in the galaxy, and also have an unusual religion called Shenuskthe, to where it's basically a pantheon mythology, but the promise is that if you live to the tenets of their religion, you will ascend to godhood when you die. And there's actually a splinter faction from that who are essentially terrorize members of other species in the galaxy. And then you have the Creoptis, and they're just big cold-blooded warriors, and they're kind of interesting to write when they have to be more civil.
Now you're starting to get deeper and deeper now. So let me ask you this, because you mentioned Star Trek, it is not. Was there anything along the lines of, you know, what we've, you know, experienced over the last, you know, 40, 50 years as far as science fiction, that you took a tenet from, or a piece of this, a piece of that, whether it be an idea or something structural in regards to, not so much maybe as a guideline, but you might say that you had some influence to help you put this together that we would recognize?
Well, I'm gonna be a little strange here first, and I'm gonna say that kind of the bigger factors that influenced me to approach the story the way that I did was actually the Bourne trilogy of books by Robert Ludlum, and then also the movies to somewhat of a lesser extent, and then also Band of Brothers was really what kind of drove me to write the conflict the way that I did, especially with the last episode of that series is really what drove home the way that this story was going to be approached. In terms of science fiction influences, there are several that I can probably list off, but the reality is that after doing a bit of digging and diving further and further into this genre, I found out that all those science fiction series, all this kind of stuff that I liked, was narrowed down to one source. And that is a little-known show called Babylon 5.
Oh, I know about Babylon 5.
Yeah, it's like that, but I kind of figured out that as you dig deeper into that show's history, this basically the kind of the source material of that whole show went on to create Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and more recently Mass Effect, which is kind of more the go-to I had for the sci-fi details.
Okay, well, definitely Deep Space Nine is a show I watched a lot too when it came out. But Babylon 5 definitely was it had its day, but it stayed around for a long time. I watched it. Shoot. 646-652-4479. We have Nathaniel on Books to Read tonight, talking about the Shroud of Peace, and we're kind of going through a litany of some of the influences, but definitely some of the story points that's going to make this book a must read. Let me ask you this, Nathaniel: were there anything in present time that you took in regards to the writing of the book, any experiences or ongoing occurrences that you could say maybe influenced you as well as far as this book goes?
I mean, honestly, just in terms of the training I went through to join the military, that influenced a lot of the kind of vernacular, a lot of the procedure of how things are accomplished in this universe. So that factored into it. But in terms of current events, no, there's nothing really that way. Because one of the things that you see a lot in science fiction done badly is you'll see a lot of people, they'll take an issue from current events or something like that and expunge on it, like in this sci-fi setting, and essentially say, hey, this is the way this issue exists today. This is how it always has been handled. This is how it always will be. But the reality of it is that that's completely untrue. Just looking through, just using my bachelor's as a good example of this, the history is that a lot of issues that I've seen crop up in the headlines have been around. They've been around for millennia. They've been around through all of human history, and every civilization has dealt with it differently. So one of the challenges you have in science fiction is, yeah, you can take a current issue, but you have to think of a different way to approach it. Otherwise, you're just basically writing an op-ed.
Yeah. That's a good point. So, and definitely in how you say, you know, science fiction done bad, there has been a lot of examples of that, mostly on TV. There's some movies that, you know, come close to being able to pull it off. I do know Star Trek Next Generation actually did a decent job of it when they wanted to make a point of one sort of another. So I definitely can relate to that, though, as far as trying to pull anything from recent events. So I definitely appreciate that point. I did have another question. So with the Shroud of Peace, is it where, because you mentioned how this is a republish and everything, depending on how people take to the book again and readership and things of that nature, and as you grow fans and things of that nature, with the Shroud of Peace, can we say that this is a possible series in the making of any kind?
Yeah, this is actually a planned trilogy. The Shroud of Peace is just kind of the establishing act to set up how the world works. And I'm actually just finishing up the second manuscript for this now. It's titled Lies and Pieces. And right now, all I'm doing is I'm trying to find a new publisher for that.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, we're excited to hear about that. Definitely got to keep us in the loop for that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then I also have the final book of the series as well in development right now. I'm probably about halfway through a first draft as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is going to be titled The Sins of Peace.
Exciting, but it has to be a lot of hard work too, because you're talking manuscript and first draft. Again, and when I have the books to read shows, I always kind of make mention to people, like, when you're writing, you definitely have to be serious about it. You know, Nathaniel's already mentioned that, you know, to do things that you love, you got to be able to broker off time for it on a daily and or weekly basis for sure, to be able to have an end result. But that does mean sacrificing certain things sometimes. So definitely appreciate the effort that you're putting in. Another question that I like to ask some of the authors is, as you finish this trilogy, or even with the first book being already done and out there, but as you continue to work on it, do you foresee that what you have could be translated into television and or movie form? Is that something that you even look at as a possibility? Did you even write it along those lines to say, okay, well, if somebody came with the offer of a lifetime, I definitely would push on it? How do you feel about television and or film for some of your writings in the future?
I mean, I didn't really think about it that way, but I kind of had a bit of a weird way of learning how to write. I'm terrible at reading. I know that's probably something you don't hear a lot of writers tell you, but honestly, I am terrible when it comes to reading. I'm just terrible at the discipline of picking up a book and getting through it, because 2/3 of the time, I'm either, this is too much effort for me to get invested in this, or I'm going through thinking, I can do this way better. What the heck? But more often than not, what ended up happening, I learned a lot of storytelling, a lot of writing tricks, actually through film and video games, oddly enough.
Oh, okay.
But in terms of if I had to say if it were possible to see this as an adaptation in the future, I actually think that'd be pretty interesting to see that something like that turned into maybe a series, like an Amazon Prime series or something like that.
All right, there you go. Well, like I said, I always try to throw ideas out there. Just give me my 10%, Nick. That's all I ask. So,
yeah, I mean, one of the things I noticed actually.
4.79 is the number, y'all. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I noticed actually as I was rewriting this and some of the work I've done on future entries in the series actually is that the chapters I do kind of take on an episodic style format. So I think it would actually work quite effectively as a series.
Well, like I said, that's why I always like throwing out those little hints every now and again. I had a few people last year where they point blank said that they're looking at being able to do that. But again, that's not the goal of everyone. But again, I've always looked at certain books. Now, of course, now some books are just, it's hard to translate them out into, you know, any imagery, especially depending on who's actually doing it. So some people just don't know what they're doing. And there's been some bad examples of this is nothing like the book. And this should never have happened because now I don't even like the book anymore, you know?
I mean, the thing you have to deal with more often than not when you adapt something from a print medium to a visual audio medium is you have to deal with not only like, oh, how the author described how you do it, you got to deal with the way the audience imagined it too. Because I remembered this when the Hunger Games movies were coming out, was everyone was complaining that, hey, that's not what Katniss looks like. And the way they described her was completely different from the way that I did, because my story of reading those books was I borrowed the books from a girl who lived down the hall from me, and her name happened to be Kat. So by just sheer coincidence, it ended up happening that every time I saw the Katniss's name on a page, it's like, Kat. It's like, oh, it's Kat from down the hall. Okay.
Yeah.
That's just kind of
I remember when
the weird.
Came out, yeah. And I do remember just thinking about just certain passages and chapters and whatnot. And of course, again, the book part of it is because it's a book and you're reading it, it has so many more details. Some of them are minute, but you have to put all that out to be able to create the image. Where with the movie itself, you only have so much time. So there's going to be a lot of stuff that you just have to leave out, and you just have to, you know, fill in the blanks as you can. And so a lot of times people are always dissatisfied with the movie coming from a book just because of that aspect. But the Hunger Games were, you know, compared to the book,
right.
You know, I, they were all right, you know. So
yeah, I mean,
so let me
in
ask
terms
you
of making drastic. In terms of making drastic changes to a book to adapt it to a film, the Bourne movies are actually perfect. Because if you ever read those books before, they're completely different from the movies.
That's true.
And I actually think the movies are way better because they're more about Jason Bourne as a character than just, we're going to have a fun spy adventure.
That's a good point. Yeah, you're right about that when you think about it in that time. That's a good point. So the future then, Nathaniel, we know that you're working on the trilogy for The Shroud of Peace. Will you be writing exclusively science fiction? Have you thought of, are you writing on other genres, or is it going to be strictly science fiction? And what do you perceive over the next 5 to 10 years some of your goals are going to be to accomplish?
5 to 10 years. So I do plan on branching off into different genres. It's a bit of a risk to do that as a writer, though, because a lot of times you become synonymous with one type of genre. I got a friend who he's primarily a science fiction writer, writes a lot of military science fiction trilogy. Actually, the Four Horsemen universe, have you ever heard of that? It's actually his work, and he's actually a pretty cool guy, but he tried to write a fantasy novel at one point. He put it out there, and he was absolutely lambasted for doing it.
Mm.
And it can be kind of challenging to do that. I mean, I know J.K. Rowling as well. She's so famous for the Harry Potter series that now she can't write anything else. She tried to write a couple of mysteries and had to use a pen name to push it through in order to get that to happen. But I would like to try writing some other genres. Like, I have plans to write kind of more of a high fantasy thing, but to dissect it a little bit and set it in a different time period, because I don't like medieval times. And then I also, right now, actually, with my writers group, I'm currently working on a short story anthology, which is kind of more about the more human moments of our service.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're just kind of in the early stages of doing that. It's a lot of kind of umming and erring and finding people with other stories out there to really get on board with this. But so far I think we can come up with some stuff for that. Some kind of heartbreaking stuff, some really hilarious things that happen in the military across kind of a variety of different time periods.
Okay, that'll be an interesting read for sure. All right. Well, again, I want to say thanks to you, Nathaniel, for being available. And again, The Shroud of Peace is a book that I feel that a lot of people would enjoy. You have some different elements in this particular book that I think people would relate to. Really, I just think it'll be a fun book to read. So hopefully I get a copy. Just saying. Got a question for you. Where are the places that people can find and make a purchase of the book?
So you can find this book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can find this at for ebook for $2.99, and then it is also available in soft and hardcover.
Oh, wow. So that's everywhere pretty much then. All right, cool. Do you have any social media as well where people can find you?
Yeah, you can find information about the book and sort of more my running little blog on that. It's the Sins of Peace Trilogy on Facebook. And then you can also follow my YouTube channel, which is just Nathaniel Shimkiewicz. I'm going to have some content coming up on there fairly soon.
Sounds like a plan to me, Nathaniel. And again, I just want to say thanks for being available and to, you know, being able to relay, first of all, who you are as an author. And it looks like a burgeoning one to me. You sound like you have a great work ethic. And you have a lot going on. So again, I won't say that lightly. You being in the military, thank you. Thank you for all that you do. Before I end, I always like to ask this question. For those who have considered becoming a writer in whatever genre, what tips, what advice do you have for those who are thinking about it?
Well, honestly, in terms of advice, the one thing I have to say about writing, and I actually have someone that I'm mentoring right now, pretty much the one thing that a lot of people do was they'll just plan into absurdity, just plan everything out and have this overly elaborate, overly complicated outline to a story, where in my case, I scheme for a living. My job is planning pretty much. So oftentimes what I just say for anyone who wants to write a book, just do it. Just stop talking about it. Stop planning it. Just put pen to paper and start writing. It's don't care about being perfect. Just get started. Just do it.
Yeah. That sounds like perfect advice. One of the things I've always told people in regards to talent, you can only waste but so much time. You can only procrastinate so many times where people eventually don't believe you. We all know the parable of crying wolf. So at a certain point, you got to be that person to say, I'm across this line. I am going to start doing it just to prove that I can do it. Otherwise, you're wasting time. So definitely appreciate that. Any shout-outs, Nathaniel, before the show tonight?
Really not too much. Just for for all the brothers and sisters in arms I have around the world, keep doing what you do. It's never going to be the brightest day you have, but it will always be something you look back on. So just keep on keeping on what you're doing.
Appreciate that, Nathaniel. And again, we definitely look forward to what you got coming on in the future. And of course, we'll be looking forward to hearing about some of these as they come about. And definitely, if anything gets on TV, you gotta let us know. You gotta give us a chance to talk about that as well. Okay?
Will do, sir.
All right, man. Thanks for being on the show tonight, man. Really appreciate it. It was real fun.
Thank you for having me. Have a good evening.
You too, man. And that was Nathaniel. And I appreciated what he said there at the end, where he said, well, he kind of stole the Nike logo. Just do it. But it's true, though. Again, it's procrastination. It kills most dreams. And he even mentioned it, like his job is planning. But with something like writing, especially, you could plan only so much. But eventually, you got to put pen to paper, pen to pad, pencil, something, marker, something, right? To be able to say that I have something to edit, to put together. Because once you start writing, again, you can fix all the other stuff. But if you never even get going, it's kind of hard, because eventually you get tired of planning and you quit. You'll get discouraged because you're not seeing any progress for yourself. So, again, it's really cool that Nathaniel was on, told us a little bit about his background. I learned he's from New York. I didn't know that. And again, he's in the military currently. So, again, his schedule is really busy. So for him to be able to write novels at the pace where he is working on the second, he's working on the manuscript and, you know, or the outline for the third book, which is a trilogy, is pretty impressive, truthfully. So, again, it's a matter of you want to do something, you go ahead and go and do it. So, really happy about that particular interview with Nathaniel. And Shroud of Peace is the book. You mentioned it's on Amazon, available as an ebook as well. So definitely look that up. You can search under the Shroud of Peace to find that. And I'm definitely going to see if I can get me a book as well. He got to send me one. So that way I can read it for y'all. Excited about that. So if you enjoyed this particular interview, I want to say, first of all, thanks to all that did listen. I saw a lot of people look like they're going to be chiming in on different pages that I've posted over the last day or so. But if you did enjoy this interview, please tell others. You know, let them know. This was just the first Books to Read show of the year so far. I plan to have several more. Last year we had some great authors, all kind of different genres and whatnot. So I'm excited about 2019 as far as that. Please don't forget, follow on Instagram. If you're listening on blogtalkradio.com/INTN Worldwide right now, follow the show on Instagram, INTN Worldwide Radio. If you don't like Instagram, follow on Twitter, IMTM Radio. That's Simmons and Mary, IMTM Radio. If you don't like Twitter, go on Facebook and find IMTM Worldwide Radio, okay? And then if you don't like Facebook, download the Spreaker app. Use your Apple podcast or your App Store if you have iPhone, or Google Play if you're on Android, and download the Spreaker.com app to your phone. And go to the search box and type in IMTN Worldwide Radio, and then register to become a follower of the IMTN Worldwide Radio page on Spreaker. Okay? Because we're on Spotify, we're on Blog Talk Radio, we're on Google Play Music, we're on Radio Public and Spreaker, but I'm really also trying to get on iHeartRadio. All right? And one of the prerequisites of that particular forum is I need enough followers of the page to be accepted on there. That's the last criteria that I have. I have a whole bunch of people downloading the show and listening to the show, but they're not following the page, though. So y'all help me out. I really appreciate that support. Tell one other person to do it, too. If you do it, get one other person to do it. Remember, we have on IMTN Worldwide Radio, besides the Books to Read show, we have women in business, women who have their own businesses, men in business, of course, men who have their own businesses. We have the Top Five, which is a list show. We have IMTM Music, which highlights new artists out there. We have my sports show, Around the ATL. And then we have the original IMTM Worldwide Radio, which I have a litany of interviews from the past 10 years that you can listen to of different subject matters. So a lot of content, it's a great listen. So you can listen on the Spreaker app anywhere on your phone or your tablet or your other devices. So definitely appreciate everybody who supported IMTN Worldwide Radio over the years. So one more time, I want to give a shout-out to Nathaniel. And I'm going to see if I can pronounce his name one more time. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to butcher his name. He even said it's taken him years to pronounce it the right way. So I have to listen on the replay to see if I can get it right. So when I do some promos of it, I'll get it right from then on in. I did give it a good old college try at first, though, y'all. But definitely big shout-out to Nathaniel. The Shroud of Peace, definitely an interesting storyline. We got some ins and outs in regards to how he came up with some of the concepts, the actual science fiction part. He said he used some of his military background in regards to some of the language used and phonetics, things of that nature. And he did pull from certain sci-fi eras, Babylon 5 he mentioned. So I think it's definitely going to be an interesting read. So y'all go out and get your copy. And then let us know. Make sure you hit us up on Instagram or Twitter. And if you got the book, read it and let us know what you thought about it, okay? That being said, that's going to wrap up the show for tonight. That's the first Books to Read show of 2019. Can't wait till the next one. It'll be in the near future. And again, if you happen to be an author or you happen to be someone who would love to have an opportunity to talk about what they have going on, if you have a business, you have a skill or talent, email chris@imtmworldwide.com to find out how you could be booked on the show to give yourself that extra element of who you are, what you're doing, why you're doing it, why you're special, and how people can actually buy or get your service, whatever that might be, product or service. That's what it's all about in 2019 this year, y'all. Okay? That being said, this is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio. This was Books to Read. Y'all have a great weekend.